Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is Jesus for you? In our sacred texts, in our tradition, and in our creeds, we name Jesus as both fully divine and fully human, both God and a person. Does one of these ways of thinking of Jesus feel more comfortable or uncomfortable? Is it easier to think of Jesus as divine and powerful, maybe a little distant, in control, and all-knowing? Is it easier to think of Jesus as human, someone who grieves, has friendships, suffers, struggles, and loves? Who is Jesus for you? The gospel writers each approach and show Jesus' humanity and divinity in different ways. They tell the story of Jesus in different ways, kind of like how you could ask four different people at a family reunion to tell you the story of their family, and you'd get four different stories. But taken together, you get a fuller picture of that family. This is one way it can be helpful to think about the four Gospels and their differences. All of the Gospels were written well after Jesus' death. Scholars date Mark, the earliest Gospel, to have been written about 70 years after Jesus died. And John, the latest Gospel, was written about 100 years after Jesus' death. So the Gospel stories, they're told by different people from different times and different places. And these people are sharing what they have known and heard of Jesus and his life. And taken together, the Gospels give us a fuller picture of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And from this picture, we can ask these questions. Who is Jesus for us? What can we relate to in these stories? And what is difficult for us to relate to? What comforts us? And what challenges us and makes us uncomfortable? The Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke are often categorized together because they tell the story of Jesus' life in similar ways, often overlapping, yet at the same time, each one has its own style and themes. We meet a pretty human Jesus in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. His divinity is certainly also present in the miracles he performs, and of course in the resurrection. But this is also a Jesus who struggles, who cries in the Garden of Gethsemane, who asks that the cup be taken from him, who feels forsaken by God on the cross. The Gospel of John is different. Do you remember that bit from Sesame Street where there were like four squares of video and there was a kid in each square and three kids were like jumping rope and then one kid was skateboarding? If the Gospels were in that video, John would be the kid skateboarding. John would be the kid doing their own thing. John's Gospel focuses on Jesus's divinity. In John, we meet a Jesus who is fully in control, all-knowing, all-seeing, a Jesus who gives long theological speeches about who he is. The Jesus in John's Gospel, for me, is more difficult to relate to. So in our Gospel reading today, I feel like part of the crowd who Jesus has just fed with a few loaves and fishes. They go searching for Jesus, and when they find him, they ask him a question, and it's a pretty awkward question, honestly. Rabbi, when did you come here? This is so relatable for me, to go looking for Jesus and then being kind of shocked to find him and feeling so overwhelmed that I make small talk. So, Jesus, what time did you get here? To his credit, Jesus ignores this question and says, "Oh no, you came looking for me because you want more bread and fish. But you all need to be working for the food that endures for eternal life." And then the crowd asks about what work they need to do. And Jesus says, "Believe in the one God has sent." And the crowd says, "Well, what sign are you going to give us so we can believe?" This is also super relatable to me. The crowd has just witnessed Jesus feed them and thousands of other people from a couple of loaves and fishes, and they want another sign. We always want another sign. Jesus' response to the people and to us is to point to God, who is the source of our earthly and heavenly bread. God who provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. God who operates out of abundance and not scarcity. Who has sent heavenly bread to give life to the world. And then, the people, still hungry for proof, for signs, and for literal bread, plead with Jesus to give them this bread always. So Jesus gets very literal and simple and metaphorical and symbolic and complicated all at the same time. He names himself as the bread. Jesus tells the crowd and us that he is the bread of life that God provides. The Gospel of John always leads me to more questions than answers. Who is Jesus for me? Who is Jesus for you, for us? What does it mean that Jesus is bread? What does it mean to believe in him? Asking ourselves and pondering questions like these, asking who Jesus is for us, it's important because it affects who we are as Christians. The word Christian means little Christ. So who we believe Jesus to be directly influences our call to follow him and what we see as our ministry in the world. When Jesus names himself as the bread of life, he is literally nourishing us in our daily earthly lives, in communion with him at the Eucharist, and in the life of the resurrection to come. How does all this affect our call to be little Christs in the world? Or as our passage from Ephesians says, to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ himself. How does all this affect our calls to be fed by the bread of Christ and also to be bread to the world? As heady and theological as Jesus gets in his speeches in John's Gospel, he also provides these really earthy, grounding points. And bread is one of those. Bread is a powerful symbol that is simple and elemental, yet incredibly multi-layered and complex. A symbol that's kind of like belief. How and what we believe about God, about Jesus, is also powerful, simple, yet incredibly multi-layered and complex. So, in all of my own wrestling with the Gospel of John and how Jesus is in this Gospel, I am grateful for grounding symbols like bread. I am grateful for the pairing of today's Gospel reading with the passage from Ephesians. The two together name what belief in God and the grace given by God call us into, sharing our gifts with the world. We have belief in the Gospel passage and action in the letter to the Ephesians, the free gift of grace and its sanctifying effect on our lives, sitting side by side in these two readings today. We trust that the Holy Spirit works through both our belief and our action. Sometimes belief leads to action, and sometimes action leads to belief. With all of these questions swirling around, maybe the very basic sense of what Jesus is saying to the crowd and to us today in John's Gospel is that God feeds us. God feeds us in our belief and our action, even and especially when we struggle with belief and action, and how to be as Christians, as little Christs in the world. God is feeding us. God longs to feed us if we will come to the table and eat.